Welcome to the DOPA podcast, fueling conversations around creative wellness and turning negative barriers into positive tools for mental success. Brought to you by the Department of Proactiveness and your host, Alex Normanton. Joining me today is Timo Klomp, founder and creative director of Kindly Made Amsterdam. We discuss how to navigate from fear to fun and practical tools on how to fully embrace it within the creative process. Hey, Timo, thank you for being willing to be part of this episode. We're sat in your studio in the west of Amsterdam in an area I can't possibly pronounce. So do you want to tell us exactly where we are? Because I've never been this way before.
Yeah. Well, first of all, thank you for having me on your awesome podcast. We are in the Staatsliedenbuurt in Amsterdam West, close to the city center, right out of the hustle. The hustle, yeah.
And what does that word actually mean?
Like a lot of the street names in Amsterdam are related to historic figures from Dutch history. And I think this is something to do with the government of the Netherlands back in time.
Okay.
So we're now on the funniest Scholtenstraat, which was a historical figure in the...
And is it hilarious?
Oh, funny. I guess. it had to land. Old name, I guess. I never heard it before.
Yeah.
Funniest.
It's quite a mouthful if you are not that fluent in Dutch.
Yeah.
Which I always feel bad about.
Yeah, it's a difficult language, yeah.
It's a beautiful studio space.
Thank you.
It's actually quite exciting to walk into a studio space knowing that someone has set up their own company. We're here to talk about the topic of mentally navigating from fear to fun. With all these topics, they're kind of interlinked. Well, one of the last episodes I had with Maxine Penny, you know, anxiety very much linked to fear, and anxiousness even very much linked to fear. But I want to zone in on fear and fun and what you mean specifically by that. It means a lot of different things to different people. In this session, we're really going to be talking about starting something new, very much with a new business, entrepreneurship head on our shoulders. About 6 months before the pandemic kicked off, you decided to leave agency land. Do you want to tell us a bit more about that story?
Yeah, my dad, for his work, before the pandemic, he used to travel a lot, and he came back from a flight where he had seen the documentary Cowspiracy.
Okay.
It was about the effect of our meat and animal product consumption, what the effect is on the planet.
Yeah.
He said like, yeah, we have to watch this. And
yeah,
we did. And at that time I was living with my parents and my sister, and we all sat down. I think it was like a Sunday morning. We all sat down and watched the documentary. And I remember that I was shocked and I really wanted to do something about it. So I said like, let's give it a try and try this vegan thing. I even didn't know what veganism was. Being vegetarian was the only thing you could be, but not vegan. So yeah, I tried it for a month with my family, and we actually learned a lot about it and always stayed vegan. So since then, and that was like four and a half years ago, so actually right after I started freelancing, I've decided to become vegan. And at the beginning was no problem for me. I was learning a lot about everything, and I really enjoy my work. It's like a big passion that I have. Yeah, after a while, learned more about all the industries and the impact that it has on our planet. And I was working for brands that didn't have the same values. So yeah, in my personal life, I was telling everybody about the great things of living a sustainable and ethical lifestyle. And yet, every day on my work, I was felt like I was contributing to helping these brands grow that really didn't support this views. So yeah, that began to bother me a lot at a certain point that I didn't enjoy the work I was doing anymore. And that's the moment when a fear came in. Like I said, like I really, really enjoyed doing my work. I have a big passion for that. And I actually didn't want to stop with it.
Yeah.
But yeah, I was not having any fun. It was just really conflicting with what I felt and what I was doing. So
you're talking about a conflict between day-to-day work, working for studios, agencies, brands, but you're going through this veganism way of life and changing your eating habits. But you're working on projects that was this direct conflict in your personal viewpoint versus, yeah, a brand who maybe didn't want to change their packaging materials and processes and all that sort of stuff. So you found that a challenge. Yeah, I guess the fear came from where?
The fear of giving up on the work that I was doing. I didn't see myself in another position than a designer because I really enjoy being a designer. That was my biggest fear, I guess, that I had then. Like, I almost decided to quit or to search for something else.
Okay. You didn't know what that next thing was. You didn't know what it looked like, but you knew you had to make a change.
Yeah.
And so it's like you're jumping off a diving board.
Yeah.
But you don't know where you're going to land.
Yeah. So it was a scary period in my career. But yeah, I realized as a designer or creative, you have a lot of power, I feel, to create change. Because we always help brands to attract new clients, to improve their sales. And that was the main thing that was bothering me, that I was helping these brands to grow and helping them with campaigns, which were awesome, but really didn't support the things in my personal life would support. Then the idea came to mind. The only thing that I actually have to change is the people and the brands I work with and try to use my knowledge and my skills to help plant-based and sustainable brands. In 2019 that I got that idea and I played a lot with it to let it make sense in my head because no one did it yet. That was also a scary thing because I could lose everything that I built up in the last years. I actually felt like I was on a point where I was really happy with what I did and I had still room to grow in companies and working for agencies in Amsterdam and maybe even abroad. I didn't have a lot of fun anymore in what I was doing. But in a certain way, thinking about owning a studio, which was always a dream of me and always a goal, and then also an agency that's really different than any other that there is right now, gave me a lot of excitement and it really gave me the...
Gave you life.
Yeah, exactly. It gave me life to work on it. So I've worked on the idea for a couple of months in my free time. And then overnight, I decided to quit the freelance job that I was working on it and rent the studio space that I'm sitting in right now, start Kindly Made. Yeah.
So you made that decision. There's a certain sense of fear of starting something new, certain sense of fear in terms of letting go of what you've done.
Yeah.
There's that pivot point in your mind, which is you're more excited and more filled with life about stepping into the unknown than you are about staying where you are. So it's a healthy fear in a way.
Yeah.
Rather than, oh, this is not good, and you're filled with the negative side of fear rather than an empowering kind. And I think that's a good thing. You can step forward into the unknown, have a slight feeling of fear, but you're excited overall about that. It's only fear because it's unknown. You don't know what it looks like looking ahead.
The fun and the vision on the future was more drawing me to just taking the risk.
So you decide to take the plunge, you step out, you start the business, you rent the studio, and what happens next?
That period was very exciting, but on the other hand, scary, because now I had a lot of costs.
Yeah.
So it was kind of scary, and the focus group I was focusing on for my projects is still and was very small. So I had to do a lot of work, and a lot of work for reduced prices or even free work to...
Yeah.
Build up a portfolio and to people and
Build some credibility.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I wasn't where I was looking for.
Oh, that's good.
So in the beginning, it was kind of hard.
Yeah.
The decision I made was also based on a financial runway that I had built up for myself.
Mm-hmm.
I knew I had time, but it was a fear, or a kind of voice in your head that keeps on telling like, yeah, you have to get more projects in, or did you make the right decision? Are you sure about it? Isn't it a weird thought? Maybe the world is not ready yet.
Mm-hmm.
And in a certain way, I think the world wasn't ready yet. I really believe in this. So that always helped me to keep on going and trust in what I was doing and what I am doing. But after a while, I've noticed that like more and more brands started to find me, and that people really liked the way I was
approaching.
Yeah, they really liked the approach, and they had the same value and same idea of changing the world with their product.
Yeah.
And yeah, I think these are kind of turning points in the journey that I'm making, like to keep on going and having like every time having a bigger client or a bigger project. It's still a challenge right now because it's still a very small niche that I'm focusing on. But you see that a lot of new brands are popping up right now, like plant-based brands, and they work with big funding companies and everything. So you see things are moving towards a more sustainable and ethical lifestyle. So that gives me the
confidence.
Yeah, confidence to keep on keep on moving.
But also, I mean, just going back slightly, so you started the business, you were looking for work, you did a bunch of work for clients to prove your credentials, your portfolio, your skill set, your understanding of the topic, and really embracing that. Actually, I think it's admirable that your lifestyle is being reflected in your work. So it's not just you want to do work for sustainable brands, but you're not doing anything for yourself to make those changes. So you had this body of work, things were going really well, and then we hit the pandemic.
Yeah.
And so what was your first thought when that kicked off?
Yeah, it was scary, let's say. I wasn't sure, like everyone, what was going to happen, and especially because I was still building up the company. So I had some projects that really got me through this period.
Mm-hmm.
What I saw is that in the pandemic, a lot of brands, especially sustainable and plant-based brands, were actually doing really great. I think the pandemic also helped in a way to, or let's say people were getting more conscious because they had more time to think about, rethink their lifestyle.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, rethink how they eat, what they wear, how they live. And that also helped my business, I think, in a certain way. I think it's becoming the norm that you make sustainable and ethical choices in your lifestyle.
Mm-hmm.
And every brand wants to contribute to that. So at first, where I thought that the pandemic would be a big problem for me, and maybe the end of my journey of Kindly Made, it actually, or maybe even not the worst period, let's say.
Well, I guess what started out as being quite a uncertain time and a fearful time with the pandemic kicking in, that fear of unknown, not enough work potentially, how to pay the bills.
Yeah.
In a strange kind of way, actually, you found the opposite.
Yeah.
It started as a few clients coming through, a few projects coming through, and then it's just seemed to have kept going and grown. And actually, the exact opposite's happened.
Yeah.
Which is, I think that's amazing. What's your perspective on fear, and when does it really come to the foreground for you?
It is a feeling that I have to deal with a lot, I think, almost on a daily basis. I think we all have that, especially as an entrepreneur and as a creative as well. But I think it's an important feeling to experience, because we can't always experience happiness. Or I think fear always helps us to grow and also give us some space to rethink what we are doing right now. Yeah, so I had this period a few months ago that I had less work, and I actually had a lot of fear of again, losing what I just had built up with Kindly Made. But that also gave me the space to rethink the whole strategy of the studio, to work on the proposal process, for example, work on making gifts for my clients, work on the website, work on all these kind of things.
Yeah.
And thinking back on this period, I actually am happy that I got the time to work on these kind of things, because now I don't have time for it, but it really helped me to do my projects a lot better.
Yeah.
Maybe it's also because I'm young and I haven't really experienced a lot of these feelings yet in my career, or in different ways, that I still can be really affected by feelings sometimes.
But it does come up occasionally, doesn't it? New business maybe not coming in, or a project not quite landed.
It happens a lot, but now I think I get like used to it in a kind of way, or I start to recognize the feeling. I feel that I get more quiet and more peaceful around the idea, around experiencing fear.
Mm-hmm.
So now I know, like, if I experience it, I know there is always a turning point, and that it is there for a reason, to give me some space and think about everything.
Mm-hmm.
And that gives me a lot of peace, actually.
That's an interesting point, the fact that you're using a negative emotion, or what can be seen as a negative emotion, and using it as a tool to question things. So almost the ability to be able to step back, go, something doesn't feel quite right, let's just pause.
Yeah.
Take a step back and go, why am I feeling like this? It's maybe because I've not quite cracked the problem yet, maybe, or not quite happy with the look of it, or there's just something not sitting quite right.
Yeah.
You mean that sort of thing?
Yeah. Maybe that's also because my dad always told me, like, you win or you learn, instead of you win or you lose. I think every loss or every failure is a lesson. And I think if you don't take your lesson from it, then you will never learn of it. So it will keep on happening, I think. I think with that in mind, yeah, you can really analyze a lot better what's happening, and take that ego view of the situation and make a new plan, mm-hmm. or take some rest for yourself.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, that's what I, for example, did a few months ago, really take some rest, really rethink everything.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm actually really grateful that it happened,
mm-hmm.
at that period, because that really helps me to take two steps forward right now.
So it sounds like you're using that fear in an entrepreneurial way, actually. You use it to take a step back, you use it to work on some side projects for the business, promotional tools, working on the website, almost getting ready for what's to come. Because as you say, once you're in the day-to-day work where it's busy, typically your self-promotion of your own work goes down.
Yeah.
Promoting the business kind of goes down.
Yeah.
It's a standard story. Most designers running their own company, the last thing they're working on is their website and their own brand.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Ironically.
Yeah.
So it's giving you the ability to really sharpen up and invest time and effort into that to get ready for almost the resurgence and design for sustainable brands, which is really good.
In the beginning, it went very well. Although it was sometimes very hard to find clients, but I really felt a lot of growth because people started to know about you and started to discover you. And then there is also a point where you don't have that much attention and sometimes have a gap in between projects. And then I also have to remind myself that I just began the business.
Mm-hmm.
So you get kind of addicted to the feeling of growth and getting better and doing more projects and doing every time bigger projects. But yeah, sometimes it's good to experience the other way,
mm-hmm.
and to feel what it is to not have any projects, and what do you do then? I think that makes what's making you a success or not, I think.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, I'm also still struggling with that all the time, but it's growing in me as well, let's say.
So the business is how old now?
In August, 2 years.
2 years. And you've got plenty of projects on the go at the moment.
Yeah.
Interesting clients.
Yeah.
In terms of questioning their own brand, their own approach, their own sustainability, especially in the packaging world.
Well, the main group of clients that I am helping, or brands that I'm helping right now, are startups and scale-ups.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's also because plant-based brands are relatively new.
Yeah.
And it seems to be exploding at the moment,
mm-hmm.
especially in the pandemic time.
Yeah.
I really enjoy that. But the things that we do most right now is building up a brand from nothing, only from a story or a product that's just developed. But sometimes we're even earlier in the stage. So we even help clients to think about the product itself.
Mm-hmm.
Or let's say I learn a lot about the whole process, and I try to also understand more about the products as well.
Mm-hmm.
At the moment, I'm working a lot with food startups and scale-ups, and to understand a bit more about plant-based food and how it's created. I also now in contact with a food developer who's telling me about how they make the plant-based food, how do they make these plant-based meats and dairy replacements,
mm-hmm.
also to better understand the clients.
Looking back on the times you felt fear in your personal life and in work, what have you learned from experiencing fear?
You know, using fear as a tool to grow, and that fear can help you to learn more about what you are doing, learn more about the process of a project. I see it now as a reflection tool to see, is this the right thing that I'm doing right now? And sometimes you discover that it is, and sometimes you have to change directions and do it different. It's just important part of a process, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And knowing that you don't have to fear anymore that much.
There you go.
So fear less. So it's an important step, and know that it's coming at a certain point, and don't be too scared about it.
I think if you can recognize that it is part of the process, and you know it's coming, then maybe you don't fear it as much.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Maybe to come back to the fear part a bit, is that every time I start a process, you have this kind of fear, like, can I crack this? Mm-hmm. Can we do this together? I think also you can learn a lot from other creatives. So I always try to talk with other creatives or get them on board even for the project. And then the whole process becomes a lot more fun, because then you can just talk about it and
mm-hmm.
make concepts together, and also work with creatives that have a completely different role, mm-hmm. like copywriters or strategists,
mm-hmm.
and that makes the process a lot more fun and gives a lot more quality to your work.
Yeah.
And for me, like, getting compliments or seeing clients that are happy with the things that you did, or see that the brand is growing
mm-hmm.
because of the work you did, that gives you a lot of fun. And then you think back to the fear, like,
yeah, was it worth it?
Yeah, was it worth the stress and the fear? Yeah.
Once you arrive at that positive destination, the house of fun, the excitement phase, it's almost like the energy in the room changes and people's demeanor and body language changes, because they're in that moment of enjoying themselves. They feel like the problem is starting to be unpicked and there's a solution coming, or you're just enjoying the process and the clients are happy, had a good meeting. So there's lots of things to be celebratory about. It's really interesting how the negative things are quickly forgotten.
Yeah.
And so if we're talking about fear and fun, when you're in that fun part, looking back on the fear that you experienced at the beginning of the project,
yeah,
you're kind of looking back going, what's all that about? That was completely a waste of energy.
Yeah, exactly.
And time.
Yeah.
It's so strange, because every time we start a project, or every time you have a problem, it's really strange how the first, well, I'm maybe speaking for myself, but I think from talking to other creators, it's the same. You start with that, what are we going to do? Wow, that's a big problem to solve.
Yeah.
And we start with this fear sometimes of, wow, how are we going to do that? How are we going to get there? And it's the same thing every time. It starts again, same thing. Whereas it'd be really good if we could maybe come in and start with, let's start with fun, actually. And let's do the fear at the end.
Yeah.
You know, when you're actually releasing the project to the world and what people are going to say about it, what people are going to think, is it going to deliver the KPIs, is it going to increase the,
yeah,
the brand recognition, all that stuff. It'd be really good if we kind of ended with fear and started with fun, wouldn't it?
You're waiting for that sweet spot idea.
Yeah.
You're waiting for that. It's kind of a magical thing.
And you never know when it's going to arrive either.
Exactly, yeah. That just pops in your head and then you think like, okay, I'm gonna crack this.
Yeah.
And before that, it's just, yeah, most of the time you're just staring at a blank paper, let's say, mm-hmm. waiting for that idea to pop up. But yeah, I'm so used to just, yeah, start your project with just be a bit uncertain and a bit fear, like, okay, how am I going to do this? But like the more times I've did a good project or delivered a good project, the more confident I get, yeah, that it will work out,
yeah,
well at the end. So just let it be, let's say.
Mm-hmm. In the words of the Beatles.
Yeah, exactly.
Nice.
And that's a short reminder of it, yeah.
Are you going to sing?
Sorry?
Are you going to sing?
No. Oh, no. You don't want that. You
really?
Don't want that. Not a good singer. Like I'm doing right now, overanalyzing. Don't do that too much. Take the time to reflect.
Don't overanalyze,
yeah,
but don't let it paralyze you.
Exactly, yeah.
Be on the side of the healthy fear. I've talked to a few people, certainly around negative sides of some of these topics. And we always come back to sort of one principle. We're not brain surgeons and we're not rocket scientists. So when do we start to become so fearful of the process? It's fun. We're in the creative industry. We got into it to enjoy the process of creativity. And more often than not, the fear that we're putting on ourselves is our own mind. And is it the fear of failing? Is it the fear of,
yep,
not cracking the problem? Someone may post a negative comment. I mean, there's so many routes this can take, but if you're not careful, then
yep,
you just won't get out of bed. And I think that's dangerous. I think the more times that you are aware of your own patterns of thinking and you recognize this is just my process or my headspace, you learn quicker to recognize those things and know how to deal with them. It's interesting, me chatting to you this afternoon where you're at the start of your career and building a business. I'm not at the end for myself, but I'm, you know, 20 years,
yeah,
plus at the other end. The thing that unites us is we have the same thoughts. And no matter where you are in your career, there's a similar thought process that happens in a creative person's mind.
Yeah.
I think the advantage of being further down the line is you know that's going to happen and you know the tools and the strategies that you can put in,
yeah,
place to combat them, and you know it's going to land eventually, and that's okay.
Yeah.
And that fear of uncertainty and the fear of the unknown and how are we going to get from point A to B, you will get there. It's just maybe it speeds up a little bit actually,
yeah,
in your mind going, yeah, okay, this is the first stage.
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
Looking forward to getting to the fun stage, but I have to go through this first stage first in order, almost it gives you the fuel, doesn't it? The fuel to crack that problem or break through the brick wall.
Yeah.
And you know that the good's going to come.
Yeah, exactly.
And so it's actually a really important part of the creative process. I think if everything was fun, then you'd almost maybe not question your decisions as much or not be too concerned about the type of work that you're doing. And it's just, yeah, it's fine, you know.
Yeah, exactly.
And I think genuinely people who are creating things, they care about what they're putting out in the world. And I think that's really important for you and also your business, because it's a very unique proposition. I mean, looking back, because you're in a almost privileged position to be running in a studio, you're 25, have some awesome clients, your presence online is really strong, really credible looking website, your reputation's growing. For some people who are, you know, working in agencies, working on things they're not loving, and you really looking back on your career and when you were doing that sort of work, what would you suggest to those people who are in that environment.
You know, if you don't enjoy the work that you're doing, but you feel you have something else that you really want to do, and that feeling is really strong, you know, try to put everything on a scale, like I said before, I think, and see which positive sides and downsides it has, and then try to make a decision or make a plan with a goal. How I did it isn't maybe the way other people would do it. I really like to take a risk sometimes, but I also was in a position where I had the opportunity. Yeah, I think to make a plan and make goals, set goals for yourself, set like a main goal, like this is where I want to be in the future, and how do I get there in kind of simple steps. If you have these little steps and goals, you can crack them. You have every time this like fun or how you say that, happy feeling you get from it to keep on going, and then the fear will be less. And you know, keep in mind that you are in a process of growth. And
you're working in a design agency, a branding agency, be a small studio, or you know, a global consultancy. There's going to be projects that aren't fun, or perceive as aren't fun. I'm thinking back to a conversation I had with an ex ECD actually in a previous agency, and I think I was saying, look, the creative team are struggling. They're not inspired by this brief. In fact, they don't want to work on frozen chips or whatever that brand is. They're not feeling it. I always remember him turning around and saying, some of the most mundane briefs are sometimes the most interesting in terms of turning around that as a challenge and creating something really interesting and really memorable. And so you can't have fun with every project. And if it's not bringing you joy, then raise it. But sometimes the challenge could be, how am I going to inject fun into this as a project? Just for fun anyway.
Yeah.
You know, so it's kind of two sides, isn't it? But if you're not having fun into the day-to-day projects, then maybe you have to create your own.
Yeah.
In your own free time. Your side projects.
Yeah.
Making up fictitious problems to solve in a creative way. Yeah, maybe that's the fun that you inject into your personal time rather than your full-time job.
I definitely agree with that. That's actually what I did before to create Portfolio, by the way. To make up my own magazine or make up my own brand and use it as portfolio to show what I can do. But yeah, that makes a lot of sense. Yeah,
well, it's really good to talk to you, Timo, this afternoon. Thank you for the patience with the multiple distractions. I think we've had everything from the boiler in the kitchen to a Harley Davidson to the tram.
Yeah,
the most cardboard I've ever known to be disposed of, the most loudest in the refuse collection point, which is just outside your studio.
I don't realize how many people come by.
In the history of cardboard disposal, this is the new record.
Yeah, probably.
We joked earlier about maybe potentially renaming the street and this area.
Funniest cardboard.
I'm going to call it the Papyrus Strat from now on. It's been really interesting to talk to you. There's some really good content here. And I think if we can all inject moments of fear into our creative process, that can only be a healthy thing.
Exactly.
We shouldn't be blasé about, it's not affecting anyone, what we're creating. Actually, no, design can be used as a tool for good, for doing good things.
Yeah.
And we should care about the work that's going out into the world. A healthy dose of fear injected into that, I think, is only a good thing. So I want to thank you for your time.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah, my pleasure.
And your patience with all the sounds.
It's not your fault, man. It's just part of being in the city.
Yeah. I guess so. Thank you so much.
No, pleasure. And thank you for being involved. I'll see you soon.
See you soon. Thanks.
This podcast was brought to you by the Department of Proactiveness and was recorded in accordance with the social distancing rules. If you are a brand interested in sponsoring future episodes of DOPA, or you simply want to get in touch, please email info@thedopa.com. Don't forget to follow and subscribe.